beginning with verse 9, and it reads, "In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, say, is it that you deny Him who created the earth in 2 days? And do you join equals with Him? And He is the Lord of all the worlds. He set on the earth mountains standing firm, high above it, and bestowed blessings on the earth, and measured therein all things to give them nourishment in due proportion in 4 days, in accordance with the needs of those who seek sustenance. Moreover, He comprehended in His design the sky, and it had been as a mist or smoke. He said to it and to the earth, come you together, willingly or unwillingly. They said, we do come together in willing obedience. So He completed them as 7 graduations in 2 days, and He assigned to each heaven its duty and command. And we adorned the lower heaven with lights and provided it with God, with a God. Such is the decree of Him, the exalted in might, full of knowledge." I chose these verses to provide or to build a kind of commentary that I thought would be very useful and very enlightening, and I'm sure inspiring for many. We see in these verses a numeration that is not in agreement with the numeration that is given throughout the book. Throughout the book, we are told that the heavens and the earth were made in 6 days or 6 periods. But when we read these 4 verses together, we see that there are 8 days altogether mentioned here. And many Quran readers have been confused by this. But we hope today we can get the understanding, and above all, get the knowledge that is here. It says He created the earth in 2 days and brought things in due proportion in 4 days, which gives us 6 days. Then He brought earth and heaven together in 2 days, which gives us a total of 8 days. In the footnotes here, in the Quran, the commentator here is saying that the 2 days of the 4 are included in the first 2 days that it took to establish the earth, or to make the earth, create the earth, which, he says, brings it to a total of 6 days. We are not disagreeing with that, but we want to now explain some of the knowledge that is in these verses. It says that God created the earth in 2 days. It is most important for us to know our home, our dwelling place, our living quarters, how it is ordered. The more we know about the place or the territory we are in, the more likely it is that we will be successful in that place or in that territory. If you have a home and know little about that home, then most likely you're not going to be able to keep up that home. If you don't know the proper care of the kitchen, the maintenance of the appliances, the use, the operation of the appliances, plumbing problems, and the plumbing system, if you have no knowledge of these things and you're just living in a house and you don't know anything about what makes a house or what goes in to make up the conveniences that you enjoy in a home, then you're going to fail to make proper use of those things that are designed and put in that home for your pleasure and for your needs. But if you know how that home is designed, and if you know what those designs or what those things are for, really for, in the makeup of your home, then you will use them and benefit from them, and you will preserve them because you will know their upkeep, their maintenance. Likewise for the world, we live in a society, and many of us fail to live a comfortable life in society. We fail to enjoy the society. It's simply because we don't have a knowledge of the society. The more knowledge we have of the society, the better use we can make of the conveniences or of the materials that are available in that society. So knowledge is a concern in religion. And as you know, you said, well, did you come here, Chief Minister, on a Saturday to give us a Sunday lecture? Yes, I certainly did. Every time you see me, I have a Bible or a Holy Quran or something, I come to preach. That's my job. I didn't come here to paint the place. If you can't do it, I can paint a little bit too now. But I'm not employed in that particular area yet. And I hope I won't be employed there because I don't have time to waste with a paintbrush. There's too much paint on my knowledge brush that I have to continue to wipe around. But we look at the society, and if we study it, we will see that there is many, many valuable things in the society that we can make use of. And the society is not our superior. We are its superior. The scriptures say that God made the man and put him in the garden and then told him to attend the garden. Then he told him to go out and subdue the world, land, fish, and the air, right? The life, the land, and the water and air. He told him to go and subdue it. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Many of us get the wrong idea about this. We think it meant that we should be sexually fruitful and multiply physically in big families, you know? Well, no, God wouldn't be so stupid to create human beings with the nature and the power of sex and the strong urge to unite with each other and have children and then come and give a commandment and say, use it. No one had to come and tell the bees to use it, the birds to use it. They all use it without a commandment from heaven saying, be fruitful and multiply. This book is talking about society. The scripture is talking about the building up of society. And be fruitful and multiply, it means bear converts to truth. And if you bear converts to truth, then you will multiply. So be fruitful. It means preach the truth and multiply the community of the righteous. So this is not the physical multiplying, it's the spiritual multiplying. Now we go back to our thought here. The book says, in the beginning there was darkness, and God said, let there be light. So we see that light, knowledge, understanding, this is the first development. God wants first that there be knowledge and understanding. And every creature is born, a baby from the womb of the parent, with no knowledge. You might be a genius after you come here, stay here for a while, but when you come here, you have no more sense than anybody else. We all come here with no knowledge. Our mind is blank. The lights are out there until knowledge of this world turns the lights on and give us light and increase our understanding, and we become men and women of light, are men and women of knowledge. So the first commandment is knowledge, and the scripture is concerned with the growth, with the birth and growth of knowledge in the people. So it says that he made the earth in 2 days. This is talking about the elementary development, or the very early development of a human society. Right now, if we would be cast out of civilized society into a wilderness or upon an island away from other people, we would try to seek some way to survive. If we had a wife with us, we would work with that wife, and we would try to find some food for the wife. First thing we would look for, perhaps, would be food. We would look for food because the urge or the desire, the need to have food or drink water and food is first and pressing most on us. So right away we have to go and see if we can find a water hole, some place where we can get water, a spring or something, and we would have to find some kind of physical food that we can survive on. With this food, the woman becomes satisfied. Why? Because the woman's nature is first to secure something for new life. She knows that if she has food, then she can feed a child, she can survive, and she can take care of child. So you get the food in, the woman is happy, right? You men know how happy you make that woman feel when you give her the money for a nice big shopping cart full of groceries. You know, she feels real good. She's happy, you know, when she can get that shopping cart filled up with groceries. Well, this is because historically the woman has been more concerned about having food in the house for the little ones. So we get some food and we get something started now. So the woman has the food and the man doesn't have to do it. The man can do it, but if the man doesn't do it, she'll do it. She'll go out and she'll bring something together and build up a little something and make a little room. So we think men were the first ones who built homes. That's not necessarily true. Men were the helpers. Women build the homes. The women, they had an interest in a home life. Look how long civilization, what we call savage man, or primitive man, look how long he walked around and went around without a home. Man likes to move. He likes to roam, is that right? He doesn't like to settle down and stay under a roof. But the woman, she wants a home. So these tribes, men who roamed the earth and moved from one place to another, they were slowed down by women who insisted that we have a home. They insisted upon having a home. So they need a place for their children. Women would go out and they'd get some kind of soft material to provide a little floor or something. And they would go out and get other little things to bring in into the home environment. And pretty soon they saw that there was a need to cover this, to shelter these things that we had brought here. Nice, comfortable floor here. It needs a roof over it. Okay, they go out and they build up a tent, or they throw up a few branches and throw some leaves over it just for a little shelter. The demand for a strong shelter put a demand on the man, a heavy demand on the man, the male, to go out and cut down trees, bring in heavier materials to build a stronger house. But a house is the woman's creation and not a man's creation. So from the creation or the invention of homes, which was the woman's invention, came the need to preserve, to protect, defend, and preserve those homes. We have to go out and see that food is kept in the home, right? We have to go out and get the materials necessary to make extensions on the home and to make the home stronger against the bad environment, you see? We have to organize ourselves as men to protect the homes against others, because now we got a nice looking place to stay in. You know, we don't sleep on the rocks no more. We are not lying by the riverbed on the bank. We got some soft materials here that we are on, and the woman have brought some pretty things off the trees into this place. And we have a strong house. Now, those wild people out there, they want our house. So the men then have to organize to protect the house against others who want to take the house, right? So you see, the men's society starts to build up now, doesn't it? A society of men, organizing to preserve, to defend, to protect, and to bring provisions into the home so that the woman and the children will be comfortable and safe. So the Holy Quran says that the earth was made in 2 days. Now, we don't need any intelligence development to come to this level of human life. The birds do this. The beavers accomplish this. Many, many animals who need such protection accomplish this without an institution of learning, right? The definition of man is homo sapien, which means thinking, a learning creature. That definition distinguished us from other creatures we call animals. But have we distinguished ourselves from the animals simply by getting a home, simply by having children, simply by having a home for them, simply by bringing food in there, simply by defending it against others? Have we really stepped up the ladder of what we call human society? No. We are still on the level, on the earthly or animal level, because the earth does that without our help. The earth has taught and has created life that will make its home and will feed its family and will defend its family and its home against enemies from without. So the Holy Quran says that God created the earth in 2 days. Meaning that the earth itself provide these things. Then, after creating the earth, which provide this development, this two-stage development, home life development, and then defense and security for that home. You know, the Holy Quran says that men are the maintainers of women. Is that right? It says men are the maintainers of women with that which God has enabled them to get because of a certain superiority or a certain advantage that they have been given. And this is understood to be the advantage of being more or freer to go out and explore the society, explore the surroundings. And in going out from the home, spending a lot of time out there investigating the surroundings, studying it, exploring it, the man achieved a superiority. He became wealthy, as the Holy Quran says, that he has a superiority in wealth and in physical power, right? Well, we know it's the field work. It's working in the field. That's the kind of work that builds up the muscles. Builds up the muscles of the man, makes him rugged, working in the field, exploring the field. And the fruits of his labor is what we call wealth. So this is a superiority that is given to the males of the human family because God has not tied them to home life. Allah has left us free to go out in the field. And going out in the field has made us a development or a strength, a muscle of the field. And the woman is a development and a muscle of the home life. And the Holy Quran says that this was done in 2 days. Then it says here that he set on the earth mountains. The need to protect the home life is going to bring about a development of leadership that is over the common earthly leadership. So the males of the society of this earthly type world, simple earth level world, they will get together and choose someone to be their leader. More of them will come under the leadership. More will be working. There'll be more orderliness, more cooperation among men. Pretty soon, they have great wealth, where before they had little or nothing. This great wealth is called mountains. Establishing mountains on earth means mountains of wealth that has been built up or stored up by men who recognize the need for leadership. No people can come into great wealth without having strong leadership. Weak leadership won't allow you to come into great wealth. You can get a little for yourself. That'll be temporarily or seasonal. But to have great wealth of a community, the wealth of nations, that wealth is gotten by men who work together and recognize leadership, strong leadership. So he placed strong mountains, firm mountains, high above the earth. And we know that rich governmental powers, they stand high above the common little people who think of nothing but bringing food into the house for mom and the children, keeping the doors hanging on the hinges and the windows so that they keep the wind and rain out. People who are concerned with those basic, simple basic things in life, we know that they stand very much below those people who have masses of wealth and great power, governmental leaders, and economic leaders in the accumulation of wealth. And bestowed blessings on the earth and measured therein. Blessings come behind organization, leadership. When you come into order and accept the leadership, that society is going to be blessed. And bestowed blessings on the earth and measured therein all things to give them nourishment. Now here we have the Holy Quran mentioning all things, measured therein all things to give them nourishment in due proportion. So we find that after we have leadership and a drive or a struggle to accumulate wealth for the society, that the need becomes pressing on that new leadership to provide for all the members of that society. You accumulate wealth, but it won't be long before you recognize that there's a need to serve all the elements or all the people in that community. If you don't do it, you're going to have trouble, war, division. The peace is going to be destroyed. Is that right? But if those who accumulate the great wealth and have the leadership in their hands, if they will take into consideration the needs, as the Holy Quran say, of all, you see, if they take into consideration the needs of all and provide for all in due proportion, in due proportion, not in equal proportion, but in due proportion, and giving according to the needs of the person is distributing in due proportion. But if I take more than I need, that means you're going to have less to take care of your needs. But if it's done in due proportion, then the society will be at peace, because no one can rise up and say that this is an unjust distribution of the goods of the society. Is that right? If he does, or if she does, then the leaders of the society, with their knowledge, they can come out and defend their just distribution of the goods of society, or the needs of society. They can make those who are complaining understand that you are complaining, but you have not seen your needs in proper light with the needs of your brother and your sister, you see? So it says here, and he measured therein all things to give them nourishment in due proportion in 4 days, in accordance with the needs of those who seek sustenance. Sustenance is anything that you need to satisfy a desire or need that you have in yourself. Food is called sustenance. But all the things, education is also sustenance. And in Islam, sustenance means anything that your nature demands, that you can't survive or live without. That's sustenance. When we provide for those needs, we call that provision sustenance. It says, and he did this in 4 days. With Mormon having children and developing a little private individual home life is no different than what we see in the pattern of life in the natural world among animals and everything else, all the living things. The second part is this four-step development, and this refers to government. Government has to concern itself with wealth, the accumulation of wealth. After it accumulates the wealth, then it has to concern itself with the distribution of wealth. And distribution of wealth in Islam is called zakat. And zakat means, literally, it means purity. Zakat means purification, or purifying, or purity. It does not mean money. Does not mean anything physical. Zakat means the purifying or purification. Now, why has Almighty God called zakat something that we see in terms of money? Why has he called that purification? Simply because sharing what you have with others who have the same need that you have is an act that will serve you as a purifying act. It will help to purify you. The doing of good to others works to purify ourselves. If we want to be free of painful ignorance and sin and filth and corruption in ourselves, then the best way to get free of that is by doing good to others. So Jesus, the New Testament, refers to this as charity, and charity is interpreted as to be love. The Holy Quran refers to charity as purity, and we are talking about the giving of material things, but this very giving is a pure act, and it is the act that serves to purify, to work the purification of the individual, zakat. So charity is the next step in the development or the creation of government. First, there is power and wealth. Power and wealth join together, and they build up a mountain, a structure, a strong, firm structure of wealth and power. Then, next, there is a need to distribute that in sensible proportions. This is an act of charity. Now, along with this comes a greater development of society. The society is going to increase in material wealth. The society is going to increase in knowledge, because the working together of people as a society, men working together as orderly groups, women working together as an orderly group at home in the domestic life, this is going to make a possible a free exchange of knowledge and skills. So the society is going to become wiser, more learned in the building of society. And when this greater knowledge come and greater skills come, then it's going to place a greater demand on them to learn. You understand? Now, in order to maintain this, we're going to have to train our ignorant. So this next step in the development of government is to establish institutions of learning so that we can preserve the knowledge that we have in our society and build on it, so that this knowledge will not let the material growth outgrow the growth of the mind. You follow? The coming together, the working together, the serving the community is going to bring about a great increase. And the Holy Quran calls this in this verse, blessings. Blessings come. It's going to bring about a great increase. But with this great increase is going to come an increased demand for stronger minds, for better skills. You understand? I think this is clear. All right. So we look back now in ancient language, as far back as ancient Egypt, 5,000 years or more ago. And we find that they had a society, they had an orderly world, a great strong government, and they described the whole world as being a world supported by four men. And they call these four men the four sons of Horus, or the four sons of the sun. The light, this light of the world, is the sun. And they call these four men the four sons of that sun called Horus. These four men are seen holding the earth up. Now, you know, this Western world, they have a figure too, a human figure that holds the world up. And his name is Atlas, right? And they interpret this man as being muscles, right? Now, you see how this world degenerated? From 5,000 years ago or more to now, look how they degenerated. That ancient civilization in what we call Africa, they really saw what was holding up the world. Four developments were holding up this world. Four human developments were holding up the world. Human developments that evolved or developed into government. They saw this as holding up the world. Now, we know muscles don't hold up the world. Knowledge, organization, knowledge, an orderly society, the right management of government or of society. We know these are the strengths of the world. This is what holds the world up. But here they got a man holding up the physical globe, and you're looking at physical muscles, and they call him Atlas. Well, that shows you how the mind of this society has degenerated from the land of ancient Egypt to Western Europe and America. And when you look at the society, it seems as though we really think that muscles hold up the whole world. The people trust physical muscles more than they trust anything else. the law enforcement department. The biggest problem that the government has with it is its flexing of the muscles of Atlas. The community, the biggest problem that the religious development institutions have in the community is with those people who choose to flex muscles rather than flex the power of intelligence and human compassion. So this is a great problem in the world, is this world, this idea that Atlas, a muscle man, what do they call those muscle people? Athletes or something. Athletes, right? Great athletes. The great muscle people. You know what they call them. Get so many muscles that the first thing you look at is his muscles. And God designed the human being so that the first thing you look at is the face. And the face is in the head, where the knowledge is, you see. But those muscle men, they get all developed, and the first thing you look at is his muscles. And you never think of him as anybody with a face and a head. So it says that God established the earth first, and then God established government. Then he said to earth and government, come together, willingly or unwillingly. Now, brother, this is beautiful. I mean, I wish you all had some of the experiences that I've gone through. You could share in fullness with me what's here. Some of you can, but most of you can't share in all of it. But if we had the time, and we're not going to take the time, you've been here a long time. So we don't want to hold you too long here, too much longer today. But there's great wisdom in here that's so beautiful. Says, then God, now look what it's saying. We thought that man did this without God. We thought that the government part belongs to us, and that the religious part belongs to God, right? But these verses of the Holy Quran is telling us that there is no separation between religion and government, no separation between domestic life, private life, and governmental life. We didn't invent government. Government was created. That's what the Holy Quran is telling us. Nobody invented government. Government is a natural creation. You see? It says, so he created the earth in 2 days, then the government in 4 days. And he said to earth and government, come together. Saying the earth and government was as a smoke or as a mist. What does this mean? It's another way of saying that it was cloudy. The Bible used clouds a lot to say this particular thing. It is simply saying that there was confusion. There were a lot of problems existing. Confusion, disagreement. And this is the smoke or the mist. Now, if you look at it as mist, and the Holy Quran commentaries, translators and commentators, they translate it as both mist and smoke. Some say mist, some say smoke. Most of them say both. It can mean both, or it does mean both. Mist, it does mean both, and mist refers to the religious nature of the people. The religious nature of the people is like mist. Mist rises up because sun is pulling it up. Sun is pulling it up. And smoke rises up because something is burning, right? Now, who is it that have burning in their material makeup? It is the material-minded people. They burn like material things. And what goes up? Smoke. Smoke fogs up there and stinks up there, you see? So the smoke, those who have the mist of smoke mist of smoke, they are the materialistic people. And those who have the mist of spiritual life are the mist of moral life. They represent the religious people. So there are two classes of people, and both these people were born in the earth. And they begin to have difficulties when government is organized. Government is not wise enough to deal with all of its problems, so it is going to create many pressure pockets of dissatisfaction. Is that right? So some burns, the materialistic people, they burn with the material flame. They smoke up the air. And the religious people, the God-fearing people, they give off a mist because of the heat of God. The heat of materialism is working on the materialist, burning him up. I got to have it. I got to have this. I got to have that. I got to have more. I got to have more, you know? And this is burning him up. He's burning. And the smoke he throws off is his lies to get what he wants. You see? That's that bad smoke that he throws off. You know, the Bible says the devil is a dragon that spits out fire and smoke, you see? Well, this materialistic person, if he's wise, he'll spit fire out. Fire means knowledge. Knowledge, clever words, clever speech that will go out and make a big light, and you'll be enchanted. You'll be fascinated by his light, and he'll get you under his spell. But don't think some smoke didn't come out of his mouth, too. That dragon, he's going to have some smoke got to come out before or either after that fire. Oh, and the spiritual person is just the reverse. Fire means knowledge. Knowledge, clever words, clever speech that will go out and make a big light, and you'll be enchanted. You'll be fascinated by his light, and he'll get you under his spell. But don't think some smoke didn't come out of his mouth, too. That dragon, he's going to have some smoke got to come out before or either after that fire. Oh, and the spiritual person is just the reverse. He doesn't have the fire of materialism burning in him. He has the fire of God's divine truth and light burning in him. And that fire acts on him as the heat of the light we call sun, and draws up the elements of his spiritual or moral being, which is symbolically called water, draws it up in the form of a light mist and separates it from the filth of the stagnant, polluted water, and makes him pure in his body when it rains back down into his form as pure water, right? Lifted up from the corruption of the earth. So he's able to rise up from the corruption of the earth by the pull of God, the divine truth or divine light, and leave the corruption in him down below. And then he gathers this back to himself and become bigger in his body of moral strength and bigger in his body of spiritual strength. So we have two forces growing here. One is growing by polluting, by corrupting the society, and the other one is growing and causing a purification and a cleaning of the society. We know the pure air, rain, when it falls, it cleans the air and it provides clean water for the earth to drink. Is that right? So one is burning with a fire that corrupts and kills the society. The other one is burning with a fire that brings down purity and a coolness for society. Is that right? That water, when it comes down and hits that hot earth, and sometime in the heat of the day we can see the steam from it, it's cooling that old hot earth off. Is that right? So life can grow. All right, so it says that he brought them together in 2 days. How is he going to bring now the earth together with the heaven? The heaven here, it says the heaven was made in 2 days. What does this mean? It says the earth was made in 2 days. and the heaven was made in 2 days. The heaven being made in 2 days means this, that first there is a need to come together, to become a family. Just as the man marries the woman to have children to keep his and her life existing on earth, when the heaven is formed, religious people combine, get together, and form a marriage with religious people. They are not a community. They are not an ordered group, a society at first. But I have this kind of God fearing in me, fearing nature in me, and I have a desire to see society become a religious society. So I will begin discussing it with you. And we'll agree. I'll finally meet someone that will agree with me. And we'll form a marriage. Right? And we form that marriage so we can have religious children. You see? And we... And they brought barrels to Jesus that was partly filled with water. Jesus told them, go get the barrels. And they brought the barrels, and he filled the barrels, made the barrels full to the brim, all the way up, and turned the water into wine. This simply means that those people had a little scripture with them, a little knowledge of scripture with them in themselves, and